of His people. Amen. So you say, why do you want people to praise or testify? Because when you start glorifying, His presence will be magnified in here. Amen. So Genesis 37, the title of this message this morning is, Don't Tell It Wrong. Don't tell it wrong. And don't hear it wrong.
Amen.
Don't tell it wrong. And don't hear it wrong. I want everyone that had a participation, if you cooked, served, or did anything else, would you stand real quick? Thursday, we had a recovery breakfast. We had a recovery, about 15 to 20 men that are in a recovery program not far from here came, and we ministered to them some breakfast and some really good preaching. And I would like for everyone that had a part in that, stand up, please. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thanks so much for doing that. This church, we are going to do stuff. We've got too many people here not to do stuff. So if you think, man, you're doing too much, we're asking too much, that's what we're supposed to do as a church. We're not coming here to have a pep rally all the time and not do stuff. We are going to do stuff. And that's going to cost money. Money. Time. And effort. And the more money, time, and effort you give, the more blessed you'll be. And you'll never regret giving any of your money and your time and your effort. I will never apologize for asking you when God puts it on my heart for any of those things. There's a message in that. Y'all ready? Genesis 37, 1. We done a series here not too long ago, was Don't Tell Your Story Too Soon. Remember that? Well, God put this on my heart. I was preparing Friday and Saturday for the message, and I thought it was going one way, and God said, no, I'm going to show you something, and I'm going to preach to you right now about don't tell it the wrong way.
Amen.
And please, please don't hear it the wrong way.
Amen.
You ready? And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father, this is 37:1, wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, you might want to underline that, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with his sons Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his brethren, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to the brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now I'm not going to read all of this, because if you have not heard this story, go back and read all of it. The next place will be is in John chapter 11, around verse 50. All right. Now let's take some time and go back. Joseph was loved and was covered. Amen. He was loved and he was covered. His daddy loved him more than all of his other brothers. Amen. And he was covered by a coat of many colors. And he was given a vision by God. And all this is true, and all this is good. But there also was 11 other brothers who hated their younger brother, because he was loved more. He was covered better, and he had a vision from God. And I want to tell you something right now. At 17 years old, he got a word from God that he was going to be the one that his older brothers one day would bow down to. And it was absolutely true. And there's nothing wrong with sharing the truth. But there's a wrong way to share the truth. Amen? Now, he was standing there in front of his brothers, and he says, listen, one day your sheaves will bow before my sheaves. One day you're going to bow down to me, and you're going to do obstinacy for me. What that means is you're going to have to beg me. Praise God. Was it true? Yes. Did it come to pass? Yes. Did the brothers hate him? Yes. Listen, I want you to understand this. Sometimes you can be spiritual, you can be anointed, you can be called, you can be sent, and you can be hated.
Amen.
Because you deliver it the wrong way. You show yourself the wrong way. I'm glad you're called. I'm glad you're anointed. I've been called and I've been anointed. But I've also said it wrong before. Can I help you real quick? See, what he did is he said it from a point of view that he didn't understand what it was going to take for his brothers to bow down before him. Man, it sounds good when it sounds like people are going to worship you or beg you, don't it? People are going to beg me for food and I'm going to be able to supply it for them. But guess what it takes? He's going to lose everything that he loves. Joseph is going to have to give up everything that he loves for his brothers to bow down to him and beg him for food. He didn't know that. He's going to lose his mother and his father because that's what it's going to take for everybody to bow down to him to ask them for food. He's going to be rejected and thrown in a pit, and people are going to argue. My gosh, people are going to argue and wrestle around, and you're going to be able to hear them. They're going to throw him in a pit, and his brothers, his family, are going to argue whether it would be better to kill him or to sell him into slavery. God, some of y'all that have struggles with family, you might want to make a note there. If Joseph had problems with his family and Jesus had problems with his family, then maybe it's normal that I have some issues with my family. Amen? Golly. Could you hear him? Now, listen. Do we want to kill him? Because if we kill him, we get rid of the problem. And somebody, maybe we should just sell him into slavery. Is either one of those a great option? Did any of them look like this is where the brothers are bowing down and asking and begging for his help? Then all of a sudden, he goes down to Potiphar's house and he becomes a slave. Sometimes you've got to go down before you go up. No, check that. Forget that. You have to go down before you go up. Not sometimes. Every time. Amen? Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be in charge, but nobody wants to go through what it takes to be that. Amen? Oh, brother, I want to preach like you. Well, give up your Friday and Saturday nights for about a decade. Get on your face before God, beg Him for a word, and go through the book like it's your favorite dessert, and maybe He'll bless you.
Amen.
Oh, never mind. Did I say that out loud? Oh, I want to have a big farm like yours. Plow some ground. Cut some stumps. Burn some stuff out. Then go through a couple of years where you don't get no results out of the crop that you sowed. It would have... Do I have to beg somebody here for amen every once in a while? I want to be the boss like you are. I want to be in charge of people. We'll be willing to work for somebody. Everybody wants to be in charge, but nobody wants to start out working. Amen? How do you think they got there? They did a job and did it well and said, hey, they showed up every day. Some of y'all wonder why you ain't blessed in church, and some of you wonder why the church is growing so much, because every time you come here, you say, man, there's more people here. Guess what? You ain't been here in a month. That's why you don't recognize nobody. Ouch. Ouch. Ow. That hurt, preacher. You want to keep these people? We might leave. I ain't trying to keep you. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
Amen? I want you to understand it. God, hey, it's not easy doing what you do.
Yes.
Joseph says, man, if I knew this. Then he ended up a prisoner. Never mind. Nobody wants to go to jail for Jesus, do they?
No.
But you might have to. Hey, no. You might have to. You might have to go into God's prison. You might have to go into physical prison. If it took you going to prison for God to get into your life, you'll thank God for prison.
Amen.
There's some people here this morning that are broken. Do you know that? I've seen them come to the altar. No, those are the ones that are getting made whole. I've seen some people worshiping. You say, man, they're broken. Yeah, there's some ones that are being made whole. But there's a lot more broken people here this morning.
Amen?
God loves brokenness. I thank God for the brokenness because that's what drives me to God. My prosperity and me doing well don't normally drive me to God. It's when my heart's broke.
Amen.
When my heart's broke for what God's breaking my heart for, that's usually when I do business for God.
Amen.
It's when I'm doing good, I worry because you know what? Then I have to debate whether I'm going to go worship Him or not. Some of you are like, well, I don't even know why they're going out there. I don't even know what the deal is. That means you're on the mountaintop and you won't praise Him. So a valley's coming for you. Amen? Because if the only time you talk to God's in the valley, amen, God don't mind to put you in one.
Amen.
Let me go back. If Joseph would have told his brothers the story, knowing what he would have knew 13 years later, it would have looked a whole lot different, wouldn't it? Brothers, one day you're going to have to beg me for food. And I don't want you to beg me for food. I don't want to lose everything. I don't want to lose Mom, and I don't want to lose Dad, and I don't want to lose my identity. I don't want to lose my comfort. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose everything I know. I don't want to be sold into slavery. I don't want to be broke. God, I don't want all this to happen. But if God wants it to happen, then it's going to happen. But my God, that's not what I want.
Amen.
Somebody tell me, every time God's going to bless me, I remember when I was young, a young preacher. I don't know if I was ever young as a preacher, but I was young as a preacher. Amen. Young and never preached before. I told people in a little church called Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, I told them, I'm not staying here. I got big things to do. Man, I was arrogant. I got big stuff to do. God's got big calling on my life. I'm going to reach millions of people. I'm going to reach men and women for Christ. I mean, I know God's got big stuff for me to do.
Amen.
And I'm standing there telling somebody who sacrificed everything for me to be called in that little Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. Some people who'd sold livestock and houses and had it given their whole life for there to even be a church there. And if I had known, I would have said, my God, thank you for the sacrifice for an arrogant young man who's been called to preach, an opportunity to stand around you awesome men and women of God who have sacrificed so much. See, you're standing at Flat Top, and maybe we've got more numbers than we've ever had as a church. But the only reason we're standing here is when they had a few, they were faithful. And we can't get arrogant and say, we're going to be the best. No, we're going to build on what you started. It's arrogant. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to do great things. And the only way you can do great things is somebody's built a great platform for you to get off of. Did I know? I wish I went back there and preached and I've been humbled. Because I didn't know when I said, I'm going and I'm going to go into full-time ministry. And I did. And I went into a boys' home and I helped raise 21 boys where several of them got saved. But I didn't know I'd get a phone call one day about a young man named Brandon Hodges. 14-year-old boy died in a car accident. And they wanted me to come preach the funeral. I thought, man, that's not what I wanted. I wanted all these boys to grow up and be great men of God. I didn't think I would have to come down here and preach a funeral for a boy that had the cutest smile you've ever seen. He was the most mischievous kid we had in the house. He was. He was more trouble. But then you'd go and get mad at him and say, Brandon, you know what he did? He'd go, and when he got nervous, he'd crack this little smile and his little teeth would show. He'd go, and dude, I'm a big guy. And I'm like, hey, just go, just kid, don't do it again. Just go on, you know. And then once again, God said, hey, Kevin, I'm going to move you up to Pikeville, Tennessee, over a men's camp. And I tell her, I'm going to help men in addiction. I'm going to get men, I'm going to seek God. And you know what? Get a phone call one day. Hey, was Zach saved? Yeah, he cried out right here in my office, fell down on the floor and cried out for Christ. Well, good, I just wanted to know, this is his mom and daddy. He died last night. What? He's 23 years old. Hey, I need you to come down here and talk to Brian's mama. Why? Because Brian, he drove into a bridge last night and died. Can you? The only person she wants to talk to, Kevin, is you. I want to do great things for God. Amen. There's a right way to tell it, and there's a wrong way to tell it. Be humble about it, because everything you're going to do for God is going to be hard. There's going to be some ups and downs and everything in between. So when you tell people you've been called and you've been anointed and we're going to do great things, you better understand in your heart, you're going to see people pass away. You're going to see some families be broken. You're going to be seeing some people that absolutely hate you just because you love God. But you're going to see some souls saved. And you're going to see some people delivered from drugs and alcohol. And you're going to see a marriage come back together. You're going to see some kids who do it right. But it takes the hard as well as the easy. Amen? Those brothers heard it wrong too, didn't they? They heard it wrong. They heard it 13 years wrong. They hated him. Some of y'all come here some Sundays and you hear a word that it makes you mad. It frustrates you. It hurts you. Because it's opposite of what you want to do sometimes. But don't be hurt by something that's trying to rescue you. Amen? See, salvation's tough. See, what they heard was our 13-year younger brother is going to have charge over us. What they didn't see was 13 years later when their children were starving to death. See, all the brothers had wives and children. Amen? And their wives and children were starving to death. And the word that they had received 13 years earlier that caused them to hate and then sell their brother into slavery was now the word that was going to save their life. God, I wish I had some real people here and every once in a while who when you first heard the gospel, you rejected it. When you heard Jesus, you rejected it. When you heard about God, you ran away from Him, not to Him. And it took you some time. You was hating God and hating the things of God. And it took you some time to run far enough to find out that the only thing that He told you was true. I am the way. I am the truth. I am salvation. I am the resurrection. I am the only way. And this is my favorite. I am the door. I love that. You know why when He says, I am the door, you know why that's my favorite? Because I am dumb. No, some of y'all put me on a pedestal, but I am very basic. I'm not intelligent person. I've got a ton of common sense. But I'm not intellectually smart at all. Some of y'all are way smarter than I am. But God made it simple enough that I can understand it. He said, I am the door. And I got the concept of a door, honey. I do. He said, I'm the door. And He said, if you try to come any other way except through the door, I'm like, I got that concept. You're the door. And if I want to come into you or come into heaven, I've got to come through the door. I can't come through Buddha. I can't come through Muhammad. I can't come through my works. I can't come through what I did or want to do. I've got to come by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So I've got to open the door. I've got to say, God, let me in. Amen. Amen. Can I get real basic with you? There's a lot of doors in this house right here, ain't they? Amen. There's a door right over there. There's a door right over there. And there's a door right there. See that door? It says exit. You see it? If there was a fire blowing in here, all of a sudden a big fire caught on fire in here right now, you know what you'd do? You'd try to get out that door, correct? And maybe that door over there? Huh? But let me ask you a question. Would you care where that door went to? Hey, if a fire breaks out this morning, does anybody want to go back here and see where that goes? Come on, you want to go back here and see the old organ? Come on, let's go see it. Y'all don't want to see the organ? It's back there. There's a bathroom on this side. Y'all want to go see it? I'm just now pretending there's a fire going on. Do you guys want to see door number two? Wait a minute. I think I could preach this very basically. You all right, Peyton? What's this? Get out of the way, idiot! safety.
Amen.
So show me the door out.
Amen.
Or in this case, the door in.
Amen.
That makes the rest of the world mad. I'm the only way. I'm the door. You know what he says? And this is the concept. I'm a very smart man when it comes to this right here. I am the door. Anybody who tries to come any other way is a thief and a robber. Let me tell you something. You want to come down and see me at my house? Call. But if you don't call, knock on the door. Please, please, please don't try to pry the garage door open. Amen? Don't crawl in a window. I'm spiritual, but you'll leave with more holes than you came with. Amen? Do you understand? God says the same thing. I'm the door. You can come through me. But if you try to come any other way,
amen,
you ain't getting in. I'll treat you exactly as you are, a thief and a robber. How did you hear it? These boys heard it wrong. They were mad when they heard that there was salvation through Joseph and the food that he would have. But 13 years later, none of them had a problem with saying, give us that food. My kids are starving. Give me that food. My wife's starving. And you say, well, how does that tie in today? If you go to John chapter 11, Jesus Christ showed that He was not only the truth, the way, the life, but He showed that He was the resurrection. Amen? And guess what's this? He raises Lazarus from the dead. Amen? Look at John chapter 11, verse 52. And not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto the country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Y'all good? I know I just read an obscure passage out of John chapter 11. What had happened was, Jesus had just raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead. Now, he had raised some other people from the dead, but in Jewish custom, you had to be dead 3 days. Amen? To be dead. That's why Jesus did not raise from the dead until the third day. Amen? But you have to, before the body is separated from the spirit by their custom. Now, believe me, I believe this. If you're dead, you're dead.
Amen?
Okay? 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, whatever. But that was their custom. So Jesus let his friend Lazarus lay in the ground dead for 4 days. And he showed up. Not at the hospital. Lord help him. Not at the funeral. Double Lord help him. But a few days later. Amen? 4 days late. But right on time. Jesus comes walking. Have you ever felt like Jesus wasn't on time? Some of y'all need to be more honest. But he's on his time, not your time. He's doing his thing, not your thing. Sometimes we forgot. We signed up for the Lord's army, but we only want to be discharged. We want to only go to go into battle when we want to go, not the general. Never mind, sorry. Martha runs out to him first because she's an A-type. Mary eventually comes out because she's a worshiper. Amen? And he says one thing. He says, where'd you bury him? Where'd you put the dead? And they're like, well, he's over there in the grave. He's been there for 4 days. Take me there. Amen? He goes, Martha's one of the smartest people in the Bible. Right before he says, now let's roll away the tomb. And Martha's so pragmatic. She looks at him and says, he surely stinks. Amen? This is going to stink, Lord. Write this down. God's not afraid of your stinking problems. If you think you got a problem, but it's so big and so stinky and so messy that God can't handle it, you ain't trusted God yet.
Amen?
This problem's so big and so nasty, it's not going to be good. God says, Lazarus, come forth. I love this story. I love it. Because he comes hopping out there in his grave clothes. Right? Some of y'all that have been saved, the difference between you and mature Christianity is you're still trying to wear your grave clothes. You're still trying to be the person you were before you got saved, even though you're no longer dead or half dead. Because Jesus took one look at him and said, he's alive now, so loose him. Some of y'all need to cut loose of some stuff that you used to do because that ain't you no more.
Amen.
I try to do that. It don't work, does it? Half in, half out. You get all the way in, you'll have some peace. Some of y'all, the hardest thing you do, the reason you have so much trouble coming to church is because you live in the world 6 days a week and you try to come in here on the seventh day and you're trying to worship God that you're feeding from the world and you try to come in here and try to be holy with a holy God. It won't work a lot of times. You're going to have to change some stuff. You're going to have to loose yourself from stuff. And you say, how am I going to do it? God, take it all. The good and the bad. Problem is, we want God to take all the bad and we don't want to give him none of the good. God wants your good life too. Amen? He wants your gifts, talents, and abilities. The ones you give the devil and yourself. He wants those too. Amen? So the minute he's resurrected, they took counsel. We surely have to kill him now. Huh? After he raised somebody from the dead and showed himself the resurrection, they want to kill him now? Yes, because they were hating the thing. If you hear it wrong, you'll hate the thing that's trying to save you.
Amen.
What God's saying is, yes, I want to take all your sin and I want your life, but the life that I will give you is a life more abundant.
Amen.
See, the devil says, I'll give you life, but all he really is giving you is death. Some of you think the sin that you're participating in this season of your life, is going to lead to something good. What it's going to lead to is you being broken and hurting and bitter and angry and lonely. And all God wants you to do is have peace, joy, happiness, and love, even in the worst circumstances of your life. That's what God wants to do in your life this morning. Don't tell it wrong. So if when you've got a big anointing on your life, tell it from a broken standpoint because God's going to do some crazy stuff in your life. And please don't hear it wrong. Jesus wants to save you and he wants to give you a new life because the life that you have now is really not life. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Listen, we're going to play one.